The news from QNN is next.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush arrived in Estonia ahead of the two-day NATO summit in Latvia. He is expected to push America's European allies to spend more on defense. Afterwards, he will go to Amman, Jordan to meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki for talks on Wednesday and Thursday. Anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is vowing to pull his support for al-Maliki if he attends the meeting with the president. In Iraq today, the government lifted the curfew put in place after last week's violent attacks in Sadr City that killed more than 200 people, the deadly attacks since the war began. Also today, a mortar attack caused a major fire, which is still burning at a northern Iraqi oil facility northwest of Kirkuk. Also, a U.S. Air Force jet crashed in the western Anbar province today. One pilot was aboard. The U.S. military has not released any details about the incident. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani arrived in Tehran today for the start of a summit organized by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. It is his fourth visit to Iran since he took office. The New York Times reported today that the bipartisan Iraq study group, headed by former Secretary of State James Baker, supports increased regional diplomacy as a way to address the growing sectarian violence in Iraq. That would include a dialogue with Iraq's neighbors, Syria and Iran. One of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's top advisors on Iraq announced he will leave the State Department and return to teaching in January. One day after a ceasefire took effect between Israel and the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, ending 5 months of violence. In a speech today, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert proposed a pullout of the West Bank and the uprooting of settlements as part of a final peace deal. In the meantime, he also offered a prisoner exchange along with a reduction in checkpoints and a release of frozen funds. An Iranian military plane carrying members of the elite Revolutionary Guard crashed on takeoff from an airport in Tehran today. A total of 39 people were killed, including 34 soldiers and 5 crew members. In Istanbul and Ankara, Turkish security has increased ahead of Pope Benedict XVI's visit tomorrow. The Pope is expected to be greeted by protesters on his first visit to the mostly Muslim country. In Chile, former dictator General Augusto Pinochet was indicted today for the execution of 2 bodyguards in 1973. He turned 91 years old on Saturday and remains under house arrest. And in Ecuador, a leftist economist appears to have won the presidency. You're listening to QNN.
Hi, I am Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I am here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discovered that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
At a UN Global Hazardous Waste Conference in Kenya, policymakers from 120 countries will attempt to halt the dumping of used electronics in poor countries. Currently, used computers, cell phones, and other outdated electronics are increasingly ending up in Africa in unregulated dumps where toxic chemicals and heavy metals leach into the ground. After the deadly bird flu virus was found at a South Korean chicken farm last week, government officials say they plan to kill cats and dogs to prevent the spread of the virus. 125,000 chickens, which were quarantined, have been killed, according to the South Korean Agriculture Ministry. The European Commission said that between 50 to 80% of email in Europe is spam. 2/3 of that unsolicited junk email comes from outside of the European Union. Some countries are considering higher fines and tougher laws to crack down on spam. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, is one step closer to opening stores in India. The company announced a joint venture with a leading Indian cell phone company to open hundreds hundreds of Walmart superstores in the next 5 years across India. And as part of Ford Motors' overhaul, the company, for the first time in its history, will mortgage its assets. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.37 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is down 156 points at 12,123, NASDAQ down 54, S&P 500 down 19. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dremel.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Monday after the big Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you all had heaps of food and a good weekend off. We sure did. It's nice to have kind of that long break, but it was way, way, way too long in radio time. There's a bunch of stuff from Australia today, which we'll get into, just stupid people doing stupid things and thinking that no one's gonna notice. So anyway, if you want to get in on the program, you can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, or dial in at 1-877-443-2366. I feel just a little out of step. Haven't been on for a few days. Been doing a lot of other interesting things. But for those of you that listen to Fourth Estate Radio, when Bruce and I were doing that, I spoke a lot about the Australian Wheat Board, or the AWB, and the allegations of paying kickbacks as much as $300 million directly into Saddam Hussein's coffers to maintain Australia's stranglehold on the oil for food program. And the report was tabled yesterday, and the spin machines are just going mad. And test the limits of your friendships internationally. Australia and the United States have been, you know, in a constant spit fight for years over, you know, Australia accuses America of subsidizing the farmers, which is true. And, you know, there's all kinds of just nonsense back and forth, back and forth. Millions and millions of dollars paid on lobbyists for both sides. And, you know, surprise, surprise, Australia had cornered the market as the single largest user of the oil for food program. And, you know, the way that they were doing it was sliding extra payments via a Jordanian trucking firm that went straight into Saddam's coffers. So, you know, when you look back at the time that this was all kind of taking place, you know, at the same time you have Howard, you know, playing the war drums against a guy that he's buying bullets for to shoot back at Australian troops. Now, you know, some legal scholars have even said that Johnny Howard could be guilty under his own anti-terror laws of funding terrorism. But anyway, the report was tabled to Parliament yesterday, and what's kind of interesting here is, kind of, you know, there's no set procedure for this, but traditionally, a report like this would be tabled before what they call question time here, where the different members get to question each other on different things, and sometimes it's a bit of a circus, and if you watch it for, you know, 20 minutes or so, you'll come to know that the opposition tends to be asking direct questions most of the time that get no answers, and the government, when they ask questions, their own members are asking their own members about all the great things that they're doing on a particular issue, and then they get up and grandstand for their allotted period of time. But however, instead of tabling the report before question time, so that then there could be, well, questions about the report on the day of its tabling, surprise, surprise, it was tabled after question time. And this is very rare in these situations, you know. And this just is a small sign about the lack of culpability that Howard and his government have been willing to put themselves under. You know, they very carefully limited the scope of the inquiry that led to this report. This was known as the Cole Inquiry. And the scope of the inquiry was set up in such a way that there could be no findings relating to the government itself. Now, you have to understand that the Australian Wheat Board was a government agency was a government agency that represented all of Australia's wheat farmers in the export market. Now, somewhere around 1999, 98, they were privatized. And this whole nonsense started 2 years after that. Now, I don't care who you are, what party you're in, if you are the government and you are talking about possibly following another nation into a war, and you know and you tout that Australian wheat is this great export thing, the numbers, the income that it brings in, blah, 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 blah. Do you not think that you should be looking very, very closely at your financial dealings? Well, they seem to have somewhat gotten away with the concept of, well, we didn't know. Well, no one told us. And Well, let's just say that Howard and his boys are taking this as that they've been cleared on all charges, which the report itself from the bits that I've been able to read actually doesn't say that. It says that there's gross incompetence on the government's part for the fact that they didn't know that this stuff was going on. So, you know, I'm going to get a little bit more into exactly what this means, and American farmers are getting ready to sue the Australian Wheat Board for, I think, something close to $1 billion for possible loss of income for breaking the rules of free trade and an open market, which could prove to be interesting. This is not going to be easy for. This is not going to be easy for them to get around, you know. I think the Australian people are a bit upset about this sudden bit of tarnish on the Australian image worldwide, because it's just not. It's very disingenuous in so many levels. But anyway, we're gonna take our first break here, and we've got our track of the day, which was something that I had lined up for last week, but we didn't quite get there. We've got a little bit of Ziggy Marley coming up in the next segment, and you're listening to John Fox here, Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. Dial into the program by ringing into 1-877-443-2366, and we'll see you straight after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
There, feeling a little hazy. Yeah, I'm a little slow getting going this morning, but I decided during the break I'm going to sit up straight and kind of dig into this stuff a little bit more. But anyway, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Talking about AWB. Now, I know y'all are going, what do I care about wheat? Well, this is just, you think that it's only the United States that, you know, is talking about, you know, bogus claims and reasons for going into a war. Well, Australia's comes down to wheat. And Howard's come out and just, you know, with just kind of like bogus outrage and you know, saying how the foreign minister and these other ministers have endured just the most awful onslaught of character attacks and character assassinations coming from the guys that are the kings of the character assassination. But these guys were asking real questions, okay? And my friend Tim at his news.com blog has a piece called Mr. Howard's Confected Outrage, and he just kind of goes in on about, you know, what I was saying before, you know, there are accusations that this whole report's a whitewash, and he's just finding that all insulting and rah, 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 you know, I'm outraged at the outrage. And what's, without having to get even into the piece, where it kind of gets a little interesting is in the actual comments, is the first commenter says, you know, Tim, I'd hope before anyone comments on coal that they've read the terms of reference, you know, how they could look. You know, can you do that? So he's linked to it, you know, and here it is, and you can find that it was revised 5 times. So a little further down the page, Tim breaks back into the conversation that Howard today said that Mr. Cole didn't ask for expanded terms. And it's up to the federal government to require that the terms be expanded. Well, here's Howard basically being caught up in a lie, because Tim comes back and says, yes, and according to Rudd, who's part of the opposition, on the radio this morning, he wrote to Cole and asked him to request expanded terms of reference. So this is coming from kind of like the second in charge of the opposition saying, hey, we got to look a little further, you know, how could a government... the government in charge not even be looking at this. And there were a few people making noise for quite a long time. You know, it's just, it was all about money, 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 money. And just as the poor farmers here in Australia are beginning to really, really be damaged by this drought, they end up also losing the income from this, you know, kind of shyster's deal, and it's not their fault. So, you know, I mean, who's running the ship here? It's obviously just a, you know, power hungry morons. But you know, none of this surprises me though, because, you know, the whole thing has been played out that it was kind of a sham. But anyway, we've got our track of the day coming up very shortly. However, interestingly, over the last couple of days, we've had two major SAS officers here in Australia come out and say that the whole concept of war with Iraq was foolish in one way or another. And this is because this could prove to be a bit of an embarrassment. And I mean, you know, the guys that we've got over there at the moment are not in, you know, high dangerous situations as far as the scale is over in that insanity. You know, we're guarding other contractors and Australian contracting representatives. Sounds like a little bit of a self-serving, you know, detachment out there. But anyway, I'll get into these comments a little bit later. But anyway, today's track of the day. We're going to go a bit reggae. We're going to go a bit, back a little bit. This is a great track, kind of lyrically along a similar lines as Revelation Mother Earth, the Aussie track I played a few weeks ago. This is Ziggy Marley. And here, this is just a great track called Beautiful Mother Nature. It's just a great, beautiful track. And so if you got them, smoke them. We'll see you after this bit of Rastaman here on the Head On Radio Network. Catch you after this.
Beautiful mother nature, she looked at me with a smile on her face. Then she started to cry. She said, why did my children forsake me? She felt like she was dying. Oh, ungrateful children. When she was young, she was beautiful and strong. Yeah. The more children she had, the more things went wrong. She's feeling old and cold, and her heart doesn't feel love anymore. Beautiful Mother Nature, she sat me down and told me to sing her a song. Maybe it would make her feel better. Maybe her children would sing along. And see the wrong we have done. Make amends to mend her heart. She still wouldn't hate none of her children. No matter what the good things they've done, she'll always be there when her baby. She's a mother, she's a mother you can depend on. Beautiful Mother Nature, she's hoping her children will love her again, like one she remembers before skyscrapers and chemical plants, when she was all that we had. Before they polluted her sacred land. Now her tears are falling like acid rain. And her voice sounds like earthquake. I had to beg her, mother, please don't leave. Give another chance. She is my beautiful.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Bob, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio
at the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please, set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA. Or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Monday afternoon. Coming up a little bit later, not too far down the line, is Mr. Bob Kincaid, and of course, to round out your night, Bruce Birch later on this evening. Now, just a bit more on this whole AWB thing, just to show you how ugly this whole thing has been. Richard Baker in The Age today has a piece, An Ugly Stain on Country's Reputation. Australia's reputation has been forever damaged by the bloody public execution of AWB by Commissioner Terence Cole and his team. In the prologue to his report, Cole wrote of immense consequences of AWB's action. AWB has lost its reputation, and AWB has cast a shadow over Australia's reputation in international trade. Now, the wheat exporter has been caught out knowingly breaching UN sanctions by paying $290 million in kickbacks to Saddam from 1999 to 2003. Worse, the inquiry demolished its presentations of innocence by revealing a massive cover-up. So, you know, hopefully this is not over, but we're going to go over to the phones. Dave from California is here. How you going, mate? Welcome to the program.
Really great, John. Enjoy your program much. One thought that I was wanting to share, though, is that people that come up with words like stupid, silly, ridiculous for the involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan, for that matter, I think are missing the point. This war is, to some, extremely profitable. Indeed, it's most of our treasury has gone from the treasury to the pockets of Halliburton and Bechtel and General Electric, and that's shared with our White House crew, I'm sure, and that little clique of Carlyle Group.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and I mean that's been the case through history. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read War is a Racket from Smedley Butler. It's available online in a million different places. I mean, this guy was well served in the military in World War I and got an eye inside on the money machine that drives war.
I've very much appreciated his insights. I didn't want to believe that anything is as bad as what we've got right now, but I think war can be very profitable. I think Eisenhower certainly pointed out that we had to be living in fear of the military-industrial benefits that they can enjoy by misrepresenting, you know, they could use their powers badly.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the fact that we have not only, you know, these you know, people working behind the scenes who are profiting from war. At the same time, over the last decade or so, we've replaced all this work that the military used to do for themselves with outside contracting. So, I mean, it's just been an absolute feeding frenzy over the last, you know, I mean, since this, you know, since 2001, it's been just an absolute feeding fest.
Yes. Yes, and they cheat in every way that they can. I understand that Halliburton does the laundry for all the people, the military over there and the civilians. They charge the Treasury $100 per bag for the laundry, and they outsource it there locally and have it done for 50 cents or something.
And some of the contracts, they even get to decide how many meals they're going to make.
Right, and each meal they can sell for, you know, $100 to the government and make them for $1.50. It is just a nonstop ripoff of the people of this country. People that say this is a stupid war, yeah, there is that, but it's purposeful. It is a way they have found to shift massive amounts of the federal money to themselves. And if other wars, it's probably had an element of that. I know some people got rich during the Civil War, but
every war throughout history has ended up being a war for money or control of money in some shape or form.
You know, I would have thought that maybe the possible exception was World War II, where just about everybody felt we're doing the right thing.
That's what I find fascinating, and why I go back and read it from time to time, is War is a Racket, because that was all about the build up to go into World War II, and the fact that, you know, certain corporations were out a bunch of money, and the English said, "Don't worry, you're going to get your money."
Mm.
Over manufacturing of the war machine. So it's kind of, there was a little bit of, you know, not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to minimize the effects of, you know, of Hitler and all that. However, there was a financial lever that got America involved.
I know that in World War II there was an attempt to go after Howard Hughes because he was unable to deliver his spruce goose. And had accepted some federal money, and I guess he put much of his own money into it too. But he finally got it.
You know, I just think that, you know, this war has been a racket unlike no other before it.
I agree, and it was planned out as such. But way back
Absolutely.
In Phoenix, they had the plan.
This is why this whole coal thing here in Australia is so important. You know, we were ready to go to war with the same guy that we were paying payments to make sure that our wheat got to his country via breaking international law. I think that has to open up a little bit of a doorway on you know, this government's just blind following of the United States into this ill-conceived war of opportunity and for profit.
Yeah, again, the word ill-conceived, it strikes me like meaning that they didn't plan it out. No, they planned. This is going to be the war to, you know, end the treasury, to shift it all to the wealthiest. You know,
well, yeah.
It's hard for me to conceive that so many truly dishonest, greedy, thieving billionaires have taken control of this government and perhaps other parts of the world, too.
Well, you know, I think that this ends up coming down to a few, you know, functional issues. I think the single biggest one is, you know, the lobbying. There is no reason that a corporation should be able to have such a voice with the people in power. They, as individuals, have their vote. That's it. The election's supposed to be the great equalizer, but it has been undermined by the influence of this money. I mean, it's. I don't see how you could doubt the fact that lobbying, you know, lobbying creates legislation.
Yes, and I think there's the added factor that they have found creative ways to make elections go their way.
Oh yeah. No doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt about that. This many years down the track, you know, it's just is what's it going to take for the outrage to really just open up everybody's eyes? But I'm wondering if we're finally on the verge of that. With, you know, I'm hoping, you know, with the talking about the lobbying, I'm hoping that Pelosi does stand by what she was talking about in her first 100 hours, which was cutting the tie between lobbyists and legislation. And I haven't heard any more on the particulars of that, but I think that lobbying of elected officials should be illegal as it once was in the United States and in Australia.
Well, that would come as quite a disappointment to the cons, because that's what they're all about. They've got every major corporate interest dumping money to them like crazy in return for getting big.
Well, that goes along with the whole concept of, you know, not actually wanting a government and trying to actually destroy the government's capability to regulate, hold oversight, and any of these functions. And they've been very successful at doing it. And, you know, it's been strategic. It's been, you know, ill-advised, I think, is more in the ideals of if this were purely a military maneuver, it's ill-conceived. It was conceived badly, just via its results,
except
whether right or wrong.
Except for the fact that it is for these same folks very, very lucrative. That's what it's all about.
And chaos allows that looting to continue is what I've always thought. But, David, thanks for ringing in. It's always good to talk to you. All right, take care. So we're coming up on our final break here shortly. You know, this whole AWB thing, it's going to be interesting to see about these lawsuits coming from the farmers in the United States. And, you know, some people in the media here are just saying that it's opportunistic, but you go back and look at the history of the wheat trade, and there's no friends between the United States and Australia there. Absolutely not a one. But anyway, we're coming up on our last break, and in regards to our track of the day, I have to thank my lovely partner, Gail, for that one. That was her pick as she was going through her reggae history. Just, it's a terrific tune. When we come back, I actually want to read a little bit of these comments of these SAS officers who have come up against the Howard government saying, you guys is a bit silly, and this is, you know, time to reconsider the options when it comes to Australia's in the grand scheme of things, meager deployment to Iraq. So if you want to get in on the program, we got one more segment left to go. That's 1-877-443-2366, or email me, john@headonradionetwork.com, and we'll see you straight after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up. Almost done here for the afternoon. Okay, this really has given me reason to smile over the last couple of days. The fact that we have some, military people coming out and saying that the government was, just that the government was, lacking with this policy of Iraq and Australia's involvement. So, out of the age today, a second former senior member of Australia's elite SAS regiment has criticized the federal government over its handling of the Iraq War and for not devising a withdrawal strategy. Former Major Jim Phillips, who commanded a Special Air Service Squadron in East Timor, said the government should acknowledge that the Iraq strategy of the Coalition of the Willing had failed and should reassess Australia's troop commitment. Mr. Phillips' comments come days after an SAS colleague, former Major Peter Tinley, said the war was a massive blunder on strategic and moral grounds. Mr. Tinley, who was deputy commander of a Special Forces Task Force in 2003 in Iraq, said Australia had been blindly led by the U.S. and poor planning had helped Iraq become a terrorist training ground. Now, this is the kind of language that we need to be hearing more of. That if there is, you know, if Iraq has become this hotbed, that the reality is we've created it. Mr. Phillips said the federal government had failed to explain how it was in the nation's interest to have a continuing role in Iraq and why it had not devised a withdrawal strategy. He said the presence of Western troops was helping provide the horsepower for terrorist organizations. Mr. Phillips and Mr. Tinley called for more debate in Australia about Iraq. They said they were not attacking the nation's troops or endorsing a soft-on-terror approach. When you have the current degree of civil unrest in Iraq, a lack of evidence of WMD, and the overwhelming majority of Australians disagreeing with your role in Iraq, how can you do anything but question the correctness of our government sending of our military forces there, Mr. Phillips said. And I think that this is key to keeping context on the argument, because there's been some talk of that the UK is going to withdraw, a certain number of its troops soon out of a certain area. And immediately the Australian press said, does the UK's cut-and-run strategy put Australia's troops in more danger? And it was just going, who wrote that headline? I wonder who. I was having a talk with a couple of friends of mine recently about the anti-war stance in Iraq. And a friend of mine who's a journalist made the point that the simple fact, and thankfully so, that Australia has yet to lose a serviceman in battle. We've had one guy that's being reported shot himself. His mother's not really agreeing with that outcome, but that's a whole other story. I think it's too late in the show to get into all this. This is just, you know, but anyway. I think it's interesting that, well, okay, generally, is it the fact that Australia hasn't lost anybody in battle lead to the fact that it still seems as though the Australian population doesn't really care? Is it not real to them? Yet. Now, things could change, and there's talk about sending more troops, which Howard denies, which basically will mean that, well, not denies, says that we haven't had those discussions yet, means that we will. And, you know, there's a very, very well-organized anti-war community here, and I think generally, you know, the Australian population doesn't like the war. They think it's a bad idea, but I don't think it really is real to them, to a certain aspect of the population. And is that, you know, because we're still this, like, kind of separated island out here in the middle of nowhere. Which I thought was an interesting point. You know, it's very different in the United States, where, you know, we've had, you know, what, almost 3,000 of our guys and then tens of thousands injured. Does that make it ring more true? So, you know, to have from, you know, the Australian SAS, which, you know, in the world is thought of as the best special forces unit in the world, you know, these guys, you know, aside from their security details, did much more serious stuff in the beginning of our ill-advised little tap dance that's turned into civil war. But anyway, I've felt really disjointed today just because I've been trying to catch up on all this AWB stuff. It's been kind of piling down over the last few hours since yesterday afternoon, and it's going to take a while for the real impact of whether this is going to change the discussion of the or the dynamic of politics here in Australia is yet to be seen. I hope that it does, and I hope that we get to cast more of a light on the duality of beating the drums of war with a man that you're sending payments to keep your wheat trade running. I just find that just disgusting. Anyway, folks, we're just about out of here. And today's program was produced wonderfully by Agnes Kincaid in the home studio in beautiful, beautiful West Virginia. The archives and the streaming are done by Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. You got to go by there, drop him a buck, drop him 10. You got to do the right thing because he never sends a bill. To the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters, thank you for everything you do for us. You keep the lights on. You keep us running. Give us the ability to do all this stuff. Our mods, our bloggers, the ninjas, thank you very, very much. I promise I'll be more with it tomorrow. I'll probably have my head a little bit more around all that's come down because of this, and I want to have more on the American response to the Cole Inquiry, and that stuff's just finally starting to come through now. So stick around. Bob Kincaid coming up next. Then shortly after that, you got Bruce Birch to carry the evening. I'm John Fox. Thanks for spending this time with me today. Be good. Be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
I've been running hard, running hard, but you got me ticking for the full time. Start me up, baby, start me up, I'll never stop. You make a grown man cry,
cry.
You make a grown man cry,
cry.
You make a grown man cry,
cry.
The oil, gasoline, I ride smooth, she's a clean machine.
So let's start it up,
start it up.
Well, the start again is all you got. I can't compete,
can't be
with the riders in the alley. Even rough it up,
rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry,
cry.
Don't make a grown man cry,
cry.
Don't make a grown man cry,
cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy, she's a mean machine.
You make a dead man come.
Come.
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 You make a dead man come.
Stay tuned for Quality News Network.
This is
is the Quality News Network. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani arrived in Tehran today for the start of a summit organized by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Syrian President Bashar Assad has also been invited, but he has reportedly not responded. Talabani was scheduled to attend this past weekend, but his trip was postponed because the Baghdad airport was closed as part of a security crackdown following sectarian violence last week that killed more than 200 Iraqis. President Bush arrived in Estonia ahead of a two-day NATO summit in Latvia. He is expected to push America's European allies to spend more on defense. The president will also ask for more NATO troops in Afghanistan, according to U.S. officials. The Taliban militia has increased the number of attacks, and the 33,000 NATO troops in Afghanistan are being challenged. Afterwards, he will go to Amman, Jordan, to meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki for talks on Wednesday and Thursday. In Iraq today, the government lifted the curfew put in place after last week's violent attacks in Sadr City. Also today, a mortar attack caused a major fire, which is still burning at a northern Iraqi oil facility northwest of Kirkuk. Also, a U.S. Air Force jet crashed in the western Anbar province today. One pilot was aboard. The U.S. military has not confirmed his fate nor any details about the crash. However, Al Jazeera reported that he was killed. In Baghdad, three U.S. soldiers were killed yesterday. Two were wounded in fighting. By the end of next year, Britain expects to withdraw most of its 7,000 military troops from Iraq. Poland and Italy also announced the planned withdrawal of their troops from Iraq by the end of 2007. One day after a ceasefire took effect between Israel and the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, ending 5 months of violence, in a speech today, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert proposed a pullout of the West Bank and the uprooting of settlements as part of a final peace deal. In Turkey, security has increased ahead of Pope Benedict XVI's visit tomorrow. The Pope is expected to be greeted by protesters on his first visit to the mostly Muslim country. In London, five people who may have been contaminated by a